everyone. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. What's new at the Mormon Channel this week? Well, there's a couple of things that are kind of fun going on here at the Mormon Channel. The first is we have a new episode of Teaching No Greater Call that just came out. In this episode, Brother David M. McConkie, first counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, we'll be talking about preparing ourselves spiritually, and this is actually the second episode of this series, and he's joined by Bill and Jan Evans, who presided over the Massachusetts Boston Mission, and Chris Bennion, a seminary and institute instructor. So be sure to catch this latest episode of Teaching No Greater Call. Another fun thing that we have going on at the Mormon Channel is a new Mormon message that was just recently released called My Brother Hiram. And today, I'm actually going to interview the filmmaker of this Mormon message, and his name is Rusty, and he is from Kansas. Now, this is a little bit different because normally when we produce a Mormon message, it's done by one of the producers here at the church. This one is a little bit different in that this Mormon message was actually submitted to the team who reviewed it, and I was actually in one of those meetings, and I remember when we saw it for the first time, I thought it was absolutely darling, and I put my vote in that we needed to have this one as a Mormon message. It's just a darling story. So I have Rusty with me on the phone here today, who is the one who submitted the film. Rusty, welcome. Thank you for joining us on Mormon Channel Daily today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. This is great.
We are glad to have you with us. Rusty, so tell us the inspiration behind the making of this film.
Yeah, you bet. Kind of the shorter version of the story is that my aunt, who lives out in Layton, Utah, about a year and a half ago had seen a little competition the church had put on. I wouldn't call it a competition, but they'd invited members of the church to submit videos that may turn into one of the next Mormon message videos. And I got thinking about that, and by the time the deadline had kind of come and passed, so what I got thinking about was going and making one or two different LDS videos based on my family's experience. And so one night I was sitting there cutting some family footage, just doing a family home video, and I had my voiceover microphone out that I used to record voice narration. And my daughter, who was about 6 years old at the time, came up and she said, "Are you making a movie about Hiram?" And I said, "Well, no." And so she was pointing at the screen, and there was a couple little clips of Hiram walking across Craters of the Moon and different places across Idaho. So within a few minutes, we started kind of playing around with the microphone, and before we knew it, we came up with a storyline of how to explain her brother Hiram and how you introduce some people that don't know what autism is about.
Let me just give a brief background to those of you who haven't seen this Mormon message yet. Hannah and Hiram are two of your children, Rusty. The story is told from the point of view of Hannah about her brother Hiram, who has autism. Will you tell us about how this video came to be with your family?
Yeah, you bet. So when we first sat down, she was saying just cute little things, just small, you know, four and five word sentences. Just simple things like, "Oh, there's Hiram at Craters of the Moon. There's Hiram doing this. It's Hiram. He's my best friend." And so she'd say a couple of these small little lines that just kind of stuck. And so as we started putting together little pieces of the clips, I kind of wrote the script with her. And while there was some guidance with that, she'd had some experience, you know, being around Hiram and talking to people about why is he a little different. But at 6 years old, you don't quite comprehend what autism is and why some people have it, why some people don't. And so it was just kind of cute to have her kind of piece together her understanding of Hiram and why he is a little different than other kids.
And how old are Hiram and Hannah?
Well, they're older now. Hannah was about 6 years old at the time, and Hannah's 7 going on 8.
Okay.
And Hiram actually just barely turned 10. So it's been some time since we first made the video. It's been about a year and a half, 2 years almost.
And you said that Hannah helped you write the script? That's wonderful.
Yep, so 6 years old, we were talking about different points, and so I started to type it up, and she would say things. So I'd say, "Hannah, what do you like to do with Hiram?" She says, "We like camping." I say, "What else do you like to do?" "Roasting marshmallows." And so those little pieces you hear where her voice is kind of inflections and high points in the voice, that's her saying what she liked to do with Hiram.
It's adorable. It comes across as just darling. I think a lot of people are going to relate to this story, whether they have children or not. What do you hope that people will take away from this Mormon message after watching it?
Well, I think for a lot of folks that sometimes we look for big complicated answers to describe why someone is born the way they are, or why we deal with different hardships. But I think her perspective and having it come from a child, there's great strength in having that happen that way. One of the things she says is, you know, we don't understand why he has autism, but we know that God makes each one of us special. And I think that perspective, as simple as that is, helps people understand that throughout this life, whatever problems we have, whatever health problems come to us later in life, that it's all part of the plan. And I hope that brings some peace to people, helps them understand that we're all quite normal and quite different from each other.
As you watch the two of them in this film, it comes across that they're really good friends. Is that true?
That's true, but they're also still, you know, 7 and 10 years old, so they still have their fights.
Right. I can see that, too. Are there any fun stories that occurred while shooting this film?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the second clip in the scene. Hiram's getting ready to walk across that rickety old bridge. It's a sheep bridge out in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. And so it's all worn down. It creaks quite bad, but it was safe because there's chicken wire on both sides. When we pulled up to get some footage, we had no idea at the time I was going to turn this into anything, but there was a couple fishermen down below underneath that bridge who were catching fish. And one of the gentlemen that was down there brought up an 8-pound rainbow trout. And I've caught a lot of rainbow trout in my life, but I've never seen one that big before. And Hiram ran right up to him and says, "Hey, what did you do?" And this guy was so excited to tell Hiram about the fish, he had no clue that, you know, Hiram was different than any other kid.
Well, that's a great story. That's darling. On a personal note, what have you learned from having a child with autism? Are there any insights that you've had that you wouldn't mind sharing with us?
I would say that my perspective on meeting people of any kind of disabilities has opened up and expanded tenfold. We don't necessarily think that we raise our kid any different than other kids. You know, we still have things with, you know, trying to discipline the child. So we know, you got to obey mom, you got to obey dad. But at the same time, we have these little awakening moments where Hiram out of nowhere says a very, very strong, complete sentence or a very deep thought. And it causes you to pause because you tend to think of them as being younger than they really are. I can recall times where Hiram would say something that was very emotionally based and he showed great empathy and he really cared about things. And I think that's a big mistake people tend to associate with autism, is that they don't feel feelings the way we do, or that they're somehow immune to emotions, or that they all don't like to hug, they don't like to have, you know, affection. But it's true, the saying's true, you know, when you've met one autistic child, you've met one autistic child, you've not met them all. Over the years, from you know, raising Hiram when he was quite young, to seeing that change when he was about 2 and a half, he was progressing as a normal child, and then somewhere around 2 and a half, 3 years old, he started to pull away, started to not look at us quite so much, started to not answer to his name. And many, many parents go through that, and that's a very, very heart-rending thing, to feel as though your child is, are they losing their hearing, what's going on, and then to slowly realize and accept that, you know, this is not something that's going to be fixed. There's no magic medication that's going to stop this. And so, having had that experience as a dad, every time we run into someone else that has a child with autism or a child with Downs or anything else like that, you can relate to them in a much more personal way because you've been there.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think a lot of people are going to relate to this story, whether they have children or not. I have several friends with children with different disabilities, and I think they will be able to really relate to your story, and you and your wife are handling it so well. It's really commendable. Are there any other insights that you've gleaned through this experience that you'd like to share with us?
Hiram's progressed a lot, and I'll share this with the people listening. You know, this was made a year and a half ago, and one of the strong points of what Hannah says in there is that someday Hiram will be able to talk just like me, and he can. He can now. If we were to see the updated version of this, you'd see that Hiram talks circles, and because of his sister, has been able to progress dramatically in his communication skills and his ability to express his feelings. So that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy from Hannah.
That's really exciting. I'm sure you and your wife have spent a lot of time working with Hiram, but do you think part of his success is due to Hannah?
We have, but I think we'd both say that a large credit of that is because of Hannah, because she was his playmate throughout that whole, this whole time growing up. And so in some ways he's caught up to her or been catching up to her, even though she's younger.
It sends a really powerful message of the difference that the love of a sibling can have, or really anyone in someone's life, but perhaps particularly a sibling. Is there anything else that we should know about or that you'd like to share with us?
Yes, we live out here in Kansas now. We're kind of far away from the mountains here of the West, but as I've run into different people that have either seen the video at different times or somehow met my children and things, they've often asked, well, how do you feel? How do you deal with that? How do you cope with that, as though it's something to cope with? And I firmly believe that in this time in our lives, in this time of the church even, that God is sending down many, many of his faithful spirits in whatever physical form that was needed for the test, needed for the trial, if you will. And so what I'm saying is that, you look at the numbers of the increase of kids coming to the earth with autism, the increase of people coming to the earth with chromosome disorders and Down syndrome and different things. I feel as though, we're living in an age where God is reminding us of who he is, and not in any kind of cruel, punishing way that your child has got this problem, therefore you're not good or anything like that, but that he's reminding us that that he is in control, and he helps us return and remember him. And so people talk about sometimes how having the family picture on their work desk reminds them of their family, what's most important. And for us, when we come home, and because we have kids that have special needs, it's our constant reminder that we need to be that example to them, that we need to be the best parents we can be. Because whether or not their comprehension gets to that point, where we say they've got their agency or not, we need to live up to our responsibilities of being the best parents we can be, and to raise them the way that God has asked us to.
It seems like when life is going great, sometimes we may not reach out as often to our Father in heaven. But it seems like in situations like this, sometimes it might force us to reach out to him a little more often, or in any situation that is difficult.
And I think it's important for people to know, within and without the church, that you don't have to have a kid with special needs to be able to show empathy. I mean, again, for most parents, they're not looking for people to say, "I'm sorry, I'm so sad you're dealing with this." No one wants that.
Right.
What they do want is people to simply try to be open, to try and communicate. Our youngest son has cerebral palsy and was born with a rare chromosome disorder, which is much, much more severe than Hiram's situation. And probably the kindest thing that people do is they'll come up and they'll talk to him. And they'll actually, even though we can't talk back, they will look into his eyes and try and communicate with him. And that means more to us than people talking to us showing, their sadness that our child has a health problem, if that makes sense.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That's really sweet. Are there any other thoughts that you'd like to share with us about this film?
People have asked, where has this gone? Where has this led to? Since it's been out for about a year and a half now. This video has never gone viral, if you will. It's been out there on a Vimeo site where I've shared it with family and friends. But because of this video, I've had an opportunity to do more and more video projects dealing with special needs school children, with other organizations, with colleges and things. And so this last year, I had a chance to go to Tanzania with one of our special ed professors here out at Kansas State University. And we were able to go and visit three different schools, all within this mountain region of Lesotho, Tanzania. And while we were there, we visited a school that specializes in autistic kids. So for me, one of the more personal things that happened on that trip was to go to a school in what we would consider to be a third world country, and to see that these beautiful young boys and young girls had clean clothes, had good food to eat, and even though it was bare ground and things like that, they were happy and they were well taken care of. Because those people, saw their potential. They knew they were sons and daughters of God, and they took care of them. And that, even in America where we have so many blessings, we have so many things that we think, oh, they're taken care of because the school will take care of it. We don't see things in that same light every way. And so I see that as a direct blessing of having been part of this video and having done that with Hiram. People saw that work and they said, you know, you can do video work like that. And they invited me to come along and do storytelling like that, but in a different country. So that was kind of unique.
Well, that's really sweet. Thank you. I sure appreciate your time today, and we are all grateful for the time you spent making the film. It's a wonderful one to watch and sends a powerful message. Thank you so much, Rusty, for joining us today over the phone and being willing to come on the show and talk to us about this latest Mormon message.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. In closing, there's a quote that I'd like to leave you with from President Thomas S. Monson, who is the prophet of the church. And this is from General Conference, April 2009, and the article is entitled, May You Have Courage, and I'm going to play that for you now.
True love can alter human lives and change human nature. I plead with you to have the courage to refrain from judging and criticizing those around you, as well as the courage to make certain everyone is included and feels loved and valued.
And with that, it's time for us to close today, but thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to check out this Mormon message. This is a darling one. Again, it's called My Brother Hiram, and you can watch this video from the Mormon Channel website, or you can view it from our YouTube channel. And feel free to share your comments with me. Maybe you have a child with autism, and if this particularly touches you, I'd love to hear about it. You can send me any suggestions, comments, or your individual stories to mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall as well. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song that I'd like to leave you with today as we close is called Leave Better, and it's featuring Benton Paul. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a wonderful day.
Show me a world without so much hurt, and I will fly like the wind to it. Show me a place all filled with grace, and I will strive to get to it, yeah. When we get through all this, we can have all we wish. Complain or saves to blame, but rather do something about it, yeah. Let's not look back at all that we lack, but rather prove that we can change it. When we get through all this, we can have all we wish. Feeling hopeful inside.